So I'll stay in. Therefore, I'm in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, such a wonderful, thankful opportunity, Lord, that we have again. Lord, we owe you our lives, Lord. Lord, where we think about where we've been, Lord, where we would have maybe the path we would have trodden without your mercy and your grace. Lord, it just makes us want to praise you and sing great praises unto you all the rest of our days, Lord. We feel so unworthy sometimes. Yeah, Lord, we're so thankful. Lord, we just ask you to have your preeminence in the service. Let everything said and done be for your glory and your honor. Give you all the praise, glory due unto you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I could turn our little capstone books to page 17. Just playing it before service. Be thou my vision. Amen. I want him to guide every footstep. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Page 33, same book. I'd just like to sing praises unto him. Amen. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See him in his full glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn our page over to 34. Love this little chorus, the power of his love. Amen. Lord, I come to you. Let me change my heart. Surround me, bring
and I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love. Oh, hold me close. Let your love surround me. Bring me near. Draw me to your side.
Without his love, without his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, amen, where would we be? Amen. My favorite song is just this thing, Praises Unto Him. Amen. Brother Settles, would you take up the offering this evening? Identified, I am identified. Amen. I am identified with Christ. I was crucified. I carry his breath. I'm no gave all my life to him. When he took away my sin, I am identified. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Say the request tonight.
Heavenly Father, we just appreciate your love and mercy and grace.
Amen.
Lord, and we're so thankful, Lord, for where you brought us from, Lord, and from the back of our lives, Lord. I'm sure that each one is able to see what you've done for us, Lord, and where you brought us from, Lord. And we just so thankful, Lord. And we pray tonight
yes.
for the needs of the people, Lord. Every hand was raised, Lord. Every request was made, Lord. We pray, Father, that you just move in the half, Lord, by God of your people, Lord, that you might get the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord. May we just trust you, Lord, all of our heart, body, soul, body, and spirit, Lord, that you might be able to work in our lives and through our lives to live and to manifest the very natural life of Jesus Christ, that others might see Christ Jesus living in us and through us, Lord. And we pray tonight for the message, Lord, and the messenger is, Lord, that you just, by God, take full control, Lord, and by God, just may your will be done today. Just speak the words of life unto us, Lord, and open our hearts and our eyes to receive your word, that we might be strengthened thereby and grow, Lord, that we might become more like you. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anyone got a song in their heart tonight? I saw what was on my heart. You got one on your heart at all? Anybody? Mom?
If there would not be a tomorrow, this could very well be our last day. Our laughter should be turning into sorrow. Instead of joking, we should be afraid. Whatever be the status that we fall in, my friend, that is surely how we'll search out today with fear your own salvation. Tomorrow just might be too late to try. Too late to make a change. If only you'd have stopped and listened while you still had time. If only you'd have stayed at home and not went out to play. One day you time that we stop fussing with one another. The token now has got to be applied. Separate from world and all it offers. You may be walking here for the last time. Let him that have a wife be though he had none. Give up, surrender, run with all your might. Now's the time to heed the call and hearken, for he may just appear there in the sky. It'll be too late if only we'd have stayed at home and not went out to play. One day it will finally be too
late. Amen. Let's just sing a little chorus. He is here, as we ask our pastor to come. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
Heavenly Father, Lord, to touch you, that we'll never be the same. Oh God, help us to touch you tonight again. And Lord, the song the sister sang, oh, how my heart just cries out, oh God. Lord, may that song find a place in our heart. Lord Jesus, one day it's going to be too late. All the warnings has gone out for years. You sent a prophet, Lord, and you vindicated him. So vindicated that, Lord, it could not be questioned whether he fell in that place, in that position of Malachi 4. Fell in that position of Revelation 10. and Luke, all these different places. It cannot be doubted, Lord. And Father, then to come along and to listen and be able to hear the things that he had spoke, that it was you inspiring his lips to say, oh, Holy Spirit, flow through me, Lord Jesus. May we hearken unto your voice, Lord. May we hearken unto that warning as it goes forth in this day. But as always, Lord, there's somebody that doesn't heed the warning. And it's like the man that the prophet spoke of in Souls in Prison. He didn't know the time of the tide when it was coming in. He didn't know nothing about it. But there was an old man that lived next by that he knew all about it. He tried to tell the young man exactly what to do, that he needed to be out of there, for the tide was about ready to move in, and it would trap him. But no, he thought he knowed so very much. You couldn't tell him. And Lord, that's become the attitude of many people in this day. You can't tell them. They have become so intellectually learned of the message that the Holy Spirit can't deal with them. But oh God, I pray that you'll deal with our hearts tonight. May our eyes be open. May we be able to see, Lord. We ask now that thy will be done. Speak to us through the word. Amen. And we'll give you the glory and the praise and all respects and honor to you, Lord. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want him to touch me all the time.
Amen.
Amen. That I won't be the same. That I'll be what he wants me to be. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians in the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians 7th chapter, and we'll read the 10th verse. Amen. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. May the Lord bless through his word. Again, you may be seated. Amen. Let's realize we want to read this again out of Souls in Prison. And this is, we'll just start about paragraph 206. Trusting this is stirring something in your heart, and you're searching your own life and making sure that everything's all right, you see. We do realize we're living in that time, friends, when it could be it. This could be the time. I don't know. But again, as to look at everything the prophet has said, and scripturally, we know the time would have to come. Just when, as the prophet said, we don't know. And trusting as he brought the message then, he was hoping it wasn't then. But he said, it sure looks like it. But again, look how many years has went by since then. You see. So Souls in Prison, he said, there will be a ministry that will show great wonders. Joel said so, but there'll be no time for redemption. It's all over. The Lamb has done took his book. And his redeemed is over. And Jesus first preached and was rejected, and then went and haunted those that were in there, and preached to them that were in prison, and could not repent. No time for salvation. That same ministry will have to repeat again. What if that could be the third pole to the eternal loss? What if it is there? I hope it's not. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is? God forbid. I got children. But it sure looks pretty close here. Why did that vision come when I was a kid? Why did I never think of that before? Why did that trance come there in the room the other day and say, here it is. It's right in the midst. The soul's lost. And Jesus preached to them and witnessed. They never repented. And the more I preach, the worse they get. There is no repentance, no place for it. So in thinking of that particular little quote for this evening, I want to read a few things and trust that you again search your own hearts personally and ask yourself the question of where you stand before God. And one thing, again, we know for sure, if God says anything in His Word, it will come to pass.
Amen.
There's no doubt. I mean, there's no question about it that what God says will come to pass. And the question is, and the subject is it now coming to pass? You know? And have we been positionally placed in the place we need to be with Christ before this hour hit? You know? It's something to really take prayerfully and to really think about it. You know, and to again measure ourselves up by the Word, not by yourself, what you are and your standard and what you think you believe, but what the Word said it has to be, you know. So in this message, All Things, he preached November 24th, 1962. In paragraph 28, I want to read a little something here he spoke of. And he says, now, that was wonderful to begin with. Now, what he's talking about here was the Jews, the children of God, was given this commission, or I should say this responsibility, to offer a lamb or a bullock for sacrifice for their sins. And they had to do this every year, as you know. And as they'd done it, and he spoke of it in communion too, how as time went on, it just become tradition. It had no value to it. I want you to think about it. It had no value to it. It didn't mean anything, you see. All right. But finally, it became a family tradition. I'm sure you know what I mean. The Jew went to go offer his sacrifice just because, well, the family did it. You know. And how many times do people do things as and call themselves believers and do it because somebody else done it in the church or because somebody else got up and preached on it and said we should do it, and we just do it because the preacher said it instead of it really having a meaning to it and a value to it, you see. And as we move along and as years go by, friend, we found that there is many young people that has grown up in this message because their parents was in it. What does this mean to them? You know? What has it meant to them? Now, some of you are young adults sitting here now because your parents grew up in this message, you see? What does it mean to us? What does it, what effect does it have upon us when these things are required? And we are to confess our faults to one another. What does it mean to us? What does it mean to us when God's Word comes forth and it's really maybe showing us and bringing out our sin and our short places? And how do we approach that? Is it just in our minds, well, I'm going to try to do better? I kind of mentioned it in the last couple of services. Or is there really truly a godly true sorrow for seeing you wasn't lining up with the Word of God and never even really truly come to repentance? But just, oh, I heard the Word, I'm going to try to do better. Is that what this generation has come to? This generation has come to a place where when God's Word shows them the wrong, they're not truly sorry for what they've done. They don't feel bad about what they did in the past. I was just ignorant. I'll chalk it up as that and go on. Why don't you remember something? In souls in prison, those who were in hell, and as Jesus preached to them, he preached a word of conviction to them, and they did not receive a conviction, and they would not repent. And he said the same thing will happen again. Now think of that. The same thing will happen again. People will not repent. People will not be sorry for what they've done. Just, okay, I'll try to do better. I'll try not to do that no more. What has happened to the true godly sorrow and and repentance in people's lives. What has happened to the time in people's lives when they have hurt somebody or done something and have aught against each other? And they feel have a bad feeling towards somebody. It doesn't bother them anymore. They just, oh, well, that person shouldn't have done that thing. Instead of really having the Holy Spirit convict them about it and say, hey, he was wrong. You need to make that right. You need to go to that individual and tell him that you're very sorry for what you've done and your actions, how you responded to that. People don't do that no more. They don't feel bad even. I want you to see, saints, that by the Holy Spirit and through the revelation of the Word of God, these things will happen again. And souls in prison. And people are so blind to it. And they can go on and thinking they're Christians when they're not. You see, it's a very serious time we live in. It is something to, it's not hidden. We know these things happen. Some of you may not be old enough to go back and really see things. You may not have been able to really experience to see the real Christ's morals that people used to have. But I'm old enough to see it and to know what people once strived for and really their desires was, and to not see it anymore. It's a scary thing. It is very haunting. It's a very serious thing how people can be so deceived and thinking they're going to make it in when they're not. God help us to have eyes to see and to repent and turn away from sin, unbelief. You see? He says, as the Jew would go offer the sacrifice, well, the family did it. Well, it was tradition. And when he walked up and said, well, wait a minute, I believe I sinned. I see, that's right. Well, I'll go get a lamb because I sinned. See, there was no godly sorrow for his sin. I ask you tonight, when's the last time you had a real godly sorrow for something you'd done wrong? Or are you going to sit there and tell me, I haven't made a mistake, Brother Steve, for 6 months or a year. I haven't done anything wrong. That's souls in prison. Yeah. Because they're so blind, they can't see it. You see? They can't see the shortcomings. Even though it's being preached, as if the Lord Jesus and Christ himself would be a preaching itself and speaking his word, and then we wouldn't repent. His representatives still carry on the same word. And if we don't repent of our past sins with true godly sorrow, where are we? What's taking place? I ask you the question. You see? See, there was no godly sorrow for sin. It was only a ritual, just a ritualistic form of taking his animal for offering. He never got nothing out of it. Nothing. Because he never put nothing in it. Yet he was obeying the commission of God by his word, but he didn't come in the real meaning of his word. He was obeying it as far as being fundamentally, he obeyed it. But sincerely, he didn't obey it. I wonder if today we haven't become the same way. That fundamentally we may even obey and ask God to forgive us of something we've done wrong. But as far as the Holy Spirit convicting our hearts and feeling terrible about what we've done, what does it mean to us? Does it bother us to do wrong against our Creator and our Savior, the one that hung on a cross for us, died and paid for my sins. And it doesn't bother me to do anything wrong. Fundamentally, I may obey even. Lord, forgive me. But we don't get nothing out of it because it don't mean nothing to us. It's become a ritual. An intellectual ritual to ask God to forgive us and not be truly sorry for what we've done and feel bad about what we've done. Absolutely. When we do place it in the blood, we're so thankful and we appreciate it. We'd better. But those people got to the point they didn't appreciate it. It was just done through tradition to take a lamb and offer it for their sins. Yeah. It didn't mean nothing to them. Study it. Study the history on it. It didn't mean nothing to them. Does it mean anything to us when we fail and make mistakes, do wrong? Huh? Some are so carnal, so caught up with cares of life, they don't even ask God to forgive them. How are you at? You said you're born again. You said you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You said the same Spirit is in you that was in Christ and raised Him from the dead. And it quickens your mortal bodies by that same Spirit. Where are you at? If we can do wrong and have aught against a brother and do something to harm them, and yet it doesn't bother us. Huh, oh well. They'll just have to understand me. You see? But what does it do to us? What does it mean to us? Okay? Let's go on. Therefore, it was just a ritual following a tradition. Jesus keeps all of his appointments. April 18, 1964, paragraph 58. That's why I think so many healings become a failure or professed healing. And there's so much difference, friends, I'll say this, not preaching about healing tonight, but there's so much difference in a real, true, revealed healing than a professed healing. There's so much difference. By His stripes I'm healed, by His stripes I'm healed. You can say it all day long until you become brainwashed. But I'm going to tell you what, it's got to be a revelation to you that you're healed. Now you've got somewhere to stand on. That's why I think so much healing becomes a failure, or professed healing, because, first place, the people are not ready for healing. They won't confess the wrongs. How many times did the Holy Ghost, as the prophet, had those people come up in prayer lines, and he's seen these visions, and he was able to look in people's lives and see the sin that was in their life, and he told them, go make this right first, and then come back. Yeah. Go make it right first, then come back. Because he knew their hearts would condemn them. You see? And they couldn't come before God with their hearts being condemned. So it's important to make things sure everything is right. You see? He says they won't confess their wrongs. And boy, haven't we moved into that age and time more than ever. Yeah. They won't confess their wrongs. Just do wrong. And come up with an intellectual thought. I'm going to try to do better. Forget the confession. Forget making things right. Yeah. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. And we're not, he says, and we're not willing to do that. Is there anybody here that's not willing to do that? To confess your faults? Brother or sister, or brothers and sisters, I've done this, I was wrong. Yeah. Many don't even care if I bring a reproach on the church anymore and on Christ. They can do the wrong, and they don't think there is no way I'm going to ask the people, which is God's children, to forgive them for the reproach they brought upon Christ. They don't think it's necessary. It's the time we live in. They'll hear the word of God and not repent. They'll not turn from their past sin. There is no godly sorrow for the things they've done wrong. It's just, oh well, people just had to overlook me. People just had to put up with me. You see? Instead of being something inside telling them and convicting them, I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry I did this thing. Yeah. People don't have that no more. Yeah. Is it time? Is it time for the souls in prison now? I hope I'm making you think.
Amen.
Because, friends, it's got to come down to it's either right or it's wrong. Again, many are called, but few are chosen. Do you realize, saints, of how many less people there would be in this message if every minister got behind the pulpit and preached the truth like it needs to be preached? You wouldn't see all this big following. No, you wouldn't. But birds of the feather flock together. Yeah. They enjoy sin, unbelief. They don't want their life put on the line and sin showed up in their life. That's what kind of pastor they want. They won't expose it. They will not do it. But I hope and trust that you're true, true eagles. That you can take the meat of the word. And you have a desire to press on above anything and everything in this life. He says, but when it comes to really first coming and getting right with God, people don't want to do that. And that's the reason it throws a bad damper over divine healing. You see so many people that walk in like that and walk out, and they don't. And God knows all about those things. He knows all about our lives right now. You see? In the Church Age book, The Warning of God, page 90, paragraph 3, beginning. Revelation 2:5, the prophet reads, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God tells them to remember, and evidently something had left their minds. They had forgotten something. He told them to turn back in their minds to their point of origin. The origin of the first age was Pentecost. They had fallen from it. They had forgotten the glory and wonder of it. It was time to go back in mind and then in reality. Back to when they could say, for me to live is Christ. Back to purity when Ananias and Sapphira were dealt with. Back to the gate beautiful. Oh, what a reproach it is to drift from God and count those acts that defile his name. Let those who name his name depart from sin and keep their vessels pure for God. Look at what you once were in your heart and mind and in your life. Then go back to it. Do you remember a time when you'd done something wrong? It bothered you so badly that you would hurt the Lord? Do you remember that time in your heart, in your life, you was that sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life? That just tore the heart out of you to do something wrong that you knew displeased God. Do you remember a time like that? Can you ask yourself the question and ask yourself and say, am I still the same way? Or have we become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? As the scripture says, that people would come to. Become hard. You see? Friends, I'd rather stand in judgment now than have to stand in judgment over there. Now I have an opportunity to get right. Over there you won't have an opportunity to get right. And you think this may feel tight and be squeezing on you. And you may even sit there as an individual and say, oh, you ought to be careful because somebody might leave. One thing about it, if you're predestined, you can't walk away from the truth. That's all there is to it, friend. Impossible. Yes. When people forget about the times when that prophet would scream out against sin, you think he was worried about people leaving? No, he knew only the predestinated seed would get a hold of that word. You see? But we get so mushy and so filled with carnality. We're so afraid. Could you imagine this church, what it'd be if I was so afraid everybody's going to leave? I don't want to see anybody leave. I love you people. I want to see every one of you make it in. But I know you won't make it in telling you lies. Amen. And telling you something that'll just make you feel good. No, you got to know the truth. Amen. It's the truth that shall set you free. Yes. Hallelujah. Mm. I feel the Spirit of God on me. Whew. I just feel like I could prophesy or something. Mm. Glory. Lord Jesus. And the way back, he said, the way is the way of repentance. If a sinner has to come to God by way of repentance, then the lukewarm or the backslider will have to repent that much more. Repent and bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Prove it by your life. If you do not repent, said God, I will remove your lampstand. Certainly, a church in that condition can't give light to the world. Its light has turned to darkness, and God will then take away his faithful messenger and his faithful shepherds and leave them to themselves, and they will go on talking about Christianity, but be bare of there. Repent quickly. Don't hesitate. Evidently, Ephesus did hesitate. For her lifespan was not very long. The glory of God decreased ever so rapidly. It was not long until the city was in ruins. Its glorious temple became a shapeless mass. The land became a marsh inhabited by waterfowl. The population was gone except for a few unbelievers in a squalid village. There was not even one Christian left. The lamp was rent from its place. Now, it does not mean that she could not have repented. It does mean, or he says, it does not mean that we cannot repent. We can, but it must be quickly. It must be a true heart cry to God in sorrow. And then God will restore. The glory shall come again. You see? But some preachers think, throw the church age book away. But it's inspired. Close. I'll try to hurry up here shortly. I've got quite a bit to go here, but we'll try to get through it. This is in He Cares, Do You Care? I'll skip down just a little bit. He's talking about asking God to forgive you and so forth. Said, what if I said now I'm going to confess it, that I'd done wrong? And I'd say, good Lord, oh friend of mine, you know that I know you real well. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think you're a good old fella. Forgive me. You know, old friend, I didn't mean it that way. He's talking about people not having true godly sorrow and repenting before God. Then what if I come to her? Now he's talking about, now he goes to his wife. Well, let's back up a little bit. Now, you say that's sacrilegious. It is, to make a confession like that. It is. But what if I go and say, Lord, I didn't mean to do it just that way. You help me. I won't do it again. You see, he'll refuse my sacrifice until I first go and make that right with my wife. Now, he's talking about something between the wife and him. Okay? Now, what if I come to her with the same irreverence and say, oh, girl, friend of mine, oh, mother of my children, oh, sweetheart, you know we've been old chums for a long time. Say, what if I put my arms around another woman? And what do you say about that, old kid? Would you forgive me? See, no sincerity in it. That's the kind of way we oftentimes have gone up to a brother or sister and we've needed to make something right. You know, really, I shouldn't have done that. But I just got carried away, and you just act real foolish with it. That's a very serious thing. Very serious thing. But we take it so lightly. Oh, my. He says, I imagine how she'd look. She'd think, what's happened to my husband? Now, the first thing, she wouldn't know whether I was kidding or whether I wasn't. And you don't go that way to make a confession to your fellow man or God. You go with the depths of sincerity. You hear what he's saying? Some people don't think the prophet knows what he's talking about, though. But I believe he knows exactly what he's talking about. And I believe if you've got the same Holy Ghost, you'll do that. You will go in sincerity, in godly sorrow. You go with the depths of sincerity, with godly sorrow of your sin. Not, oh, I just goofed. Ah, Lord, forgive me. I'll not do that again, oh, buddy. Oh, my. So sacrilegious. First, you must be sorry. Like her, I must tell her, sweetheart, come here. It may mean the rest of our married life. The woman that I live with, that's my sweetheart, and how I love you all these years. But now you may leave me for this on. From this on, you may not stay with me. You may not accept me, and I'm knowing that. But yet, I'll make it right. I've got to get right. I've got to tell her with the depths of my heart. What about the Lord Jesus? When you've done something wrong, can we just break the laws of land, speed limits, and just not even have a forgiveness in our heart? Or when we do, well, that put me in a situation. When your husband, remember, God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And you go before your head, and you do something contrary to him. He told you not to do. And you do it anyway. And you're not even sorry for what you've done. Huh? When it was intentionally? You knew what you was doing? Or have we become a people that God's word has been preached and we do not repent? Souls in prison now. Could it be? Could it be? Lord, I've got to tell her from the depths of my heart. Then I've got to tell God the same way. And tell both her and God with the sincerity that I'll never do it again by the grace of God. Don't just really, I might be able to put it over on her and she won't see it. Maybe my speech with her would convince her, but my speech won't convince God because he looks at the heart. Oh, so now I can't even pretend it because he looks at the heart whether I'm sincere. I'm really sorry for what I've done. I heard his word tell me not to do it, and I did it anyway. Am I really sorry for what I did? Am I really sorry that I tried to rule my husband? Am I really sorry that I didn't correct my children the way he said to correct them? Am I really sorry for maybe getting caught up with the men joking on the job, got in something filthy, and got wrapped up in it? Am I really sorry? Do I really feel bad about it? Do I get sick? Get a sick feeling? Oh my. If I don't, look out. It might be too late. Because we've already heard the word preached. See? He looks in my heart and He knows. And after all, just a few more years with her, see, if God permits, and we'll be taken out of this world. But with God, it's eternity. So I must be deeply sincere with God. And then, if I'm sincere, He'll hear me. Want to make sure it's under the blood? Be deeply sincere. Have true godly sorrow and repenting. Then God will hear you. Oh my. But if I'm not sincere, there's no need of me wasting God's time in listening to me. Wow. And that's where it comes to today amongst people. There doesn't seem to be the depths of sincerity that they ought to have. We're on one of the either side of the fence there. We're either on the side of the fence, that's me. I'm not sincere. It doesn't bother me to do things wrong. It doesn't bother me a bit. Or you're on the side of the fence that when something happens that goes wrong, it tears the heart out of you and makes you so sick that you've done such a thing. Oh my. Does it make you sick when you get caught up in that cantankerous temper? Does it make you sick? Or you don't even think about it? It doesn't bother you to be cantankerous and be irritable to people. It doesn't bother you. That's just my nature, Brother Steve. I'm Irish. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Ghost was to kill Irish. German. Whatever nationality you come from. For you are dead in Christ. And you are risen. A new life. Yes. We always make an excuse. I'm this and I'm that. And my family's this and my family's that. I've heard it till it makes me sick. Where people say, I don't know how to love because my daddy didn't know how to love. Nonsense. Amen. What do you think the Holy Ghost is supposed to do? Amen. Such a flimsy, ungodly, snaky serpent. Words. And preachers tolerate it and say, oh, that's the way it is. Another serpent. Snake in the grass. That's right. Oh my. Amen. You may think, well, I don't see any types in the Bible of anybody repenting like that. You could start way back and come all the way through. Look what Samson he did. Samson said, take my life. Let me die with the enemy. That I may do what you want me to do one more time, Lord. Hallelujah. What do you think about David? David done all he could do to try to get God, to find favor with God, to keep that son from dying because of what he'd done wrong. He repented and didn't eat and didn't do anything to try to get a hold of God. But oh my, he didn't reach that place yet. God took that son from him. Oh yeah. You just keep right on going, friend. I just mentioned about the other night, King Uzziah, the king, turned his face to the wall and began to cry and began to have tears run, crying out to God, and God heard him. Amen. Hallelujah. What about you? God's interested in hearing you, but he wants to hear from the depthness of your heart and sincerity and reality. Don't get caught up in this thing, friends, of being them souls in prison. Turn away and repent from your past sins. And be sure your sin will find you out, friend. That's right. But be sincere. Cry out to God. I'll close there. Amen. Had much more. But I think I've said enough. I've held you probably a little over a half hour. But God help us. I trust that my life will become exactly what he wants me to be. Though it may make me an oddball, let it be. I'd rather be an oddball for Jesus than be a friend of the world. I would rather be hated of the world. Oh, yes. And be a friend with Jesus. And be at rest and peace with him. As we mentioned the other night, take this whole world, but just give me Jesus. Friends, I trust the Holy Ghost will reveal these many things in this message. Souls in prison now. There are so many things. The more I study it, the more I see. And the more sincere it makes me. The more sober it makes me. Lord Jesus, reveal it to me. Amen. As a sister said today at dinner, she used to see the scary part of it alone. But now she's beginning to see other things about it. There's many things in it. If you have an heart open, ask God to reveal it. That's why we come here for. If God didn't have a purpose for this channel, why are we here? As Brother Pitts was talking about today, so many people want to become just tape people. But look what they're missing. Almost can't blame them, as the prophet would say. I not want to go to church because of the condition the churches are in. But if it was me, I would search for one until I found one. If I had to move, I would move. Didn't some of you people moved to find truth? Absolutely, you did. Yeah. It all depends on where your treasure is. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. You see. For the truth shall set you free. Amen. Oh my. God has a purpose for it. I believe that. And I believe with all my heart he has true election here. I know he does. Or we would never hear the messages that we hear. The Holy Ghost would never deal with us as he does and confirms that it's him. You see? Amen. If you don't mind, if you're not in a big hurry, would it be all right if the sisters sing that song again? Would you come up and sing it again, sisters? I'd appreciate it. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
What if there would not be a tomorrow? This could very well be our last day. Our laughter should be turning into sorrow. Instead of joking, we should be afraid. Whatever be the status that we fall in, my friend, that is surely how we'll rise. Search out today with fear your own salvation. Tomorrow just might be too late to try. Too late to make a change. Too late. If only you'd have given up the pleasures of this life. If only you'd have stopped and listened while you still had time. If only you'd have stayed at home and not went out to play. One day you may find that it's too late. It's time that we stop fussing with one another. The token now has got to be applied. Separate from world and all it offers. You may be walking here for the last time. Let him that have a wife be though he had none. Give up, surrender, run with all your might. Now's the time to heed the call and hearken. For he may just appear there in the sky. It'll be too late to make a change. If only we'd have given up the pleasures of this life. If only we'd have stopped and listened while we still had time. If only we'd have stayed at home and not went out to play. One day it will finally be too
late. Timothy, come on up. Amen.
Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for his tenderizing. And how many want your heart to be more tender?
Yes. Amen.
To find that place. Amen.
Lord.
You know, I just asked the Lord to forgive me, but little Colton, before we were singing, before service, he wanted to stand up, and he did, and as a father, I just grabbed him and set him back down, and the Holy Spirit really checked me, because I heard him, I seen it in his face. I should have stood with him. God moves at different times for each individual, and he's here tonight.
Amen.
He's calling on individuals.
Lord.
Not everybody's going to hear that call. But as our pastor mentioned tonight, that predestinated few.
Amen.
There's something burning in their heart. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's turn over to page 19 in our capstone book and sing this little chorus. Amen. kneel at the cross, amen. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Listen to his voice, leave with him your care. Father, as we stand here this evening, Lord, our hearts are truly kneeling. Lord, for the greatness that you are. And Lord, I humbly ask that you truly tenderize our hearts, Lord, that we would not be a hardened people. Lord, that you could move in our midst. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit, through the bringing of thy precious word, could touch our hearts, Lord. Lord, while you're still calling, Lord, and while you still see fit to preach messages, Lord, may we give it our all. And Lord, if we feel that pull down on the inside, may we feed it with all we've got, Lord. Lord, the day's coming, and it may be. For Lord, we see the signs that you pointed out in that message, Lord. We see it all around us. But Lord, you said you would not lose one of them that you've seen in your great mind. And Lord, we're here tonight, Lord, praying, oh God, keep me in the center of thy will. Lord, keep me tender, keep me humble, Lord. And Lord, keep me looking up to you that, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But through you, Lord, we can do all things. But Lord, just soften our hearts more. Let us truly see, Lord, as it said, give up your idols. Lord, maybe we're still holding on to something that's keeping us. Lord, when the pearl of great price is laying before us, Lord, may we truly give you our all.
Yes.
There's nothing on this world, Lord, to gain. But, oh, Lord, heaven's surely going to be worth it all.
Yes.
And, Lord, we just humbly ask that you would continue to take this word that we've heard this day. Lord, search our hearts. Help us to search our lives, Lord, and may it be upon our hearts and in our minds as the sisters sing the song. One day it's going to be too late, Lord. And while we have time, and yet there's a drawing in our bodies, Lord, may we feed it. And Lord, we just thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we're thankful for fivefold ministry, Lord, that will preach the word. Thankful for men, Lord, that will stand for you, Lord, as all down through the ages you've had men that were there for you, Lord. And Father, that means a great deal to that little bride all over this earth. And Lord, we don't lift up any man, but Lord, we thank you for the channels you've provided. The Lord that leads us and guides us in the ways we need to go. And Father, we thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, that good old Holy Ghost, as Brother Smith used to say. That Lord, we can feel it even here tonight and know you're with us. And each time we come in by your mercy and grace, Lord, we know you meet us. And Lord, we're so thankful for your precious word. Lord, we ask you to bring us back at the next appointed time if you should tarry. And Lord, till that time, may our hearts truly be upon you and thinking, Lord, of what you have done for us. And Lord, if we truly need to be melted down, melt us down, Lord. Lord, that I wouldn't be too big to say I'm sorry. Lord, to ask you to forgive me, Lord, and to truly mean it from the depths of my heart, Lord, and to see that bumper of blood is laying there.
Hallelujah.
By mercy and grace, Lord, it's covered me.
Jesus.
We appreciate it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you. Oh, God, just tenderize us, Lord. We ask it all to your glory and your honor, Lord, that you would receive all of the praise for it. In the precious holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus, "To Me Is So Wonderful," before we go.
Amen.
To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To May the Lord richly bless you. Amen.